In one of the discussions, I've heard you mentioning the three watches, the night watches, that are in the sutta. But I'm not sure I can follow the reason why there are the three different time of the night for bhikkhus to stay awake or to have pala samapati. Or do you remember mentioning this subject? Because usually we think that the best thing to do at night is just to sleep 8 hours or 9 hours or whatever. But at the Buddha's time, sleeping time for bhikkhus was much less than that. Is there a reason for this?
Is any time good to understand? Not necessary to be such hours. Yeah. What about now? What watch? Second or third or what?
Yeah, now is the best time to understand.
So I think it's not for anyone to follow, but the best thing in life is to understand any time. Who would like to follow the way Buddha sleep and wake up?
Just to clarify, I think what you're referring to was a description of the Buddha himself, rather than something that was said.
I'm talking about Vinaya, bhikkhus and staying awake at night.
Less kilesa. Less kilesa, less need for sleep.
And for the Buddha and the arahats, no dreaming, no disturbance at all during the night.
Yeah, I'm just thinking now about maybe it's because there's no condition for bhavanga. Because I know in jhana there is no bhavanga between jhana processes. So maybe that can be one of the reason, but I just speculating, so better change subject.
I think that each individual is so very different. So you don't have to follow anything, just understand reality as it is. There might be some night that one is sleepless. What is there? The understanding. It's good opportunity when one wakes up, because when one falls asleep, no time to develop understanding. But when one is awake, it's time to understand. But usually kilesa is there, just want to sleep. But right understanding can understand it. It's better not to sleep, but to understand. Until then, we don't know, no rule. Yeah.
Right now, Achan just said, no rule. Right.
Anatta.
Right.
Each moment, but no conditions to understand it as not self. Until then.
I have a question about Panya. Actually, this topic arose in the last Hanoi discussion, but it didn't seem clearly to me, so I would like to hear more about this. At the moment of Vipassana, when Panya understand the nature of a reality, that means the Panya understand the characteristic of that reality. But how can Panya understand the aspect anatta of that reality? Or until the Vipassana Jnana, when Panya understand the conditions and the arising and falling away of that reality. So at that time, Panya can understand, directly the aspect anatta of a reality. The reasons why I raise this question, because for a person who is developed samatha, I'm sure that the Panya can distinguish the mental factor apart from other, which is not mental factor. Even he can he can know the characteristic of vitakka, vichara, ekagata, obekha, but not as anatta as well. So I have doubt that because of listening a lot about anatta, it can condition the understanding of anatta before the vipassana jhana arise. That's my opinion. I would like to hear.
Why do you say that the characteristic of the reality can be understood, but not the characteristic of anatta?
Because the person who is developing samatha, they can understand the mental factor. They can understand the characteristic of vitakka, of vichara, of seeing, but not as anatta. But he can distinguish very well.
So it's not the understanding of the actual characteristic. It's knowing one from the other, but without understanding the characteristic.
I think he can understand well about the characteristic of vitakka vichara, so he can get rid of that reality, so the jhana can develop to the higher jhana.
It's not possible for the panya of samatha to understand the actual characteristic of a reality.
Does that person know that it's just a dhamma, or is it still the idea that it's my vitakka, my vichara? Is it known that it's just dhamma, just a passing dhamma?
No, I don't think it's known as a dhamma, as something.
So,
but
the average person can know dosa from lobha, but it's no knowledge of characteristic. You and I can know dosa is different from lobha, but there's no understanding of characteristic there. The panya that is developed in samatha cannot be applied, does not have any direct relevance to the development of insight into the characteristic of dhammas.
So when you say characteristic, you're referring to the three universal characteristics, or?
Including those, but they each have an individual characteristic also.
Right.
Which panya of satipatthana knows.
The individual characteristic that makes, for example, dosa different from lobha, right? But the normal person cannot see those characteristics?
Does not directly experience the characteristic, but they know the difference one from the other.
But we can know the difference only by knowing the characteristic, can't we? Or what is it that we are knowing then, in order to know that they are different?
Some aspect of what is referred to as the nimitta and anupayanchana, the description and detail, as far as I understand it. John may be able to elaborate further.
You say that even the characteristic of a reality is appearing. It doesn't mean that there is the idea of no one there, just that characteristic as not self. But we can think about sanya even right now. It remembers, see? So at any moment, it remembers to know whether that is flower or table or what. So when any reality appears, there can be some understanding, but it's thinking. The awareness is not the same as the sammasati of the Eightfold Path, because for sammasati of the Eightfold Path, it needs more understanding of reality as not self. From hearing, considering over and over again and again, even at that moment, who knows what can be the object of sati while thinking. It can be sati, it can be thinking, it can be that which you call it vitakka, but it's thinking about that object, see? So when there is the right thinking, not of the characteristic, But as that which is different from vichara, from piti, from ekakata, there can be the understanding of that characteristic, but not as vipassana. Because one might not have heard about vipassana at all before the enlightenment of the teachings. So one has the ability just to understand the difference between that better than the other with calmness. At that moment, citta is not akusala. But now when we try to understand, there is akusala in between. Not like that who can understand the difference between the akusala and akusala more and more, better and better, to see the difference. But still, it is not the understanding of non-self or no one. That's why samatha can condition calm, not cling to the sensuous object. But at that moment, it understands what appears as something which is different, but not as it is. Like now, sanya is not seeing. Even seeing is now appearing. What about the understanding of it? Enough? Or very little? And when it's calm, can it think over it better, deeper, just a little bit, on and on, until it attained the degree of different moment of samatha? Is there calm now? See? And when it's samatha, it needs more than just now. When there is understanding, there is calm. But it's not like those who see the danger of experiencing the sensuous object in a day, which can condition akusala, like clinging or dosa or whatever. So the person who develops samatha or tranquility understands the danger of clinging to sensuous object, but cannot eliminate or eradicate clinging at all, or even wrong view. It doesn't mean that anyone who just wants to be calm, as they like to use the word calm, but no understanding of calm at all, even as calm, not as no one yet. That's why the one who does not have any understanding at all cannot develop samatha or calmness, tranquility. It has to be kusala moment of each object of samatha. For example, about color, see, it's only color. But that person does not understand it. It's arising, falling away. But they just see that it's only different colors that one clings to as something beautiful or permanent. No idea about it. But see the danger, see, which in daily life, who sees the danger of attaching to sensuous object? Even then, the beginning is not yet begin yet. So samatha is another reality which is different from kama vajra citta. And only panya can see and can develop calm with right understanding. No matter what object, which is object of calmness, it has to be understood to calm down attachment, clinging so much to that object. Like now, who knows the level of attachment from moment to moment? Is it dangerous to cling to sensuous object, seeing right now, as something? But for samatha, it's only that which is color, no understanding that is a reality which is conditioned, arising and falling away. As much as they can understand it, it's just color. So one is attached to color, see? But when it's the understanding of the truth is more than that. Because color is not permanent. It arises and falls away. And ignorance takes it for something permanent until it appears as it is naturally, like now. When it's not natural, it's not the keen panya yet. It's only the development of understanding, little by little, at moment of seeing, right now. It's not clear, but it begins to understand. At moment of seeing, at moment of hearing, at any moment, like or dislike. So the reality is not easy to discern its nature as not self. But nobody can change. Life is like that. Only the flux of the arising and falling away, uncontrollable from life to life by conditions. Until there is the development of understanding from moment to moment. See, no matter kusla or akusla. When there is no understanding, it's akusla from moment to moment. And when it's the understanding, it's only that moment to another moment develop among akusala through this five doorways and the mind. We just talk about this just to be reminded to see the danger of circle of birth and death. But it cannot be the insight that really see the danger, because it's not the moment of directly experience the arising and falling away of reality yet. When we say our reality, it means the animitta or nimitta of realities, like seeing, hearing, different nimitta. Just the word, that which now experiences, is not clear. See, who knows? The person who listens carefully will know that it's not under anyone's control to have it quickly, so soon, to experience it. But it's the moment of become less attached from hearing the truth little by little. That's why prayati is very important. Without it, it's impossible to have higher degree of understanding. So one knows, is this moment patipati? Right understanding knows, it is or it is not.
You mean that because of the particular level of panya, have the ability to understand that for that? So, sorry, you said about sanya, I heard you tell about sanya, but I get lost that idea. What sanya?
Sanya.
I can just say about sanya through your explanation, but I get lost that idea about can related to sanya, to your, to my question. The role of sanya.
So what is panya again?
The reality can understand.
The understanding,
yeah,
of an object.
And the sanya that arises at the moment with the understanding marks the object and is purified by the panya for us, because there's a lot of marking of wrong view and so forth. So the sanya has a, as I understand it, has a bearing on the way realities are experienced, the way the world is perceived. But for the enlightened being, the sanya supports the understanding.
Sometimes people ask why we speak so much about physical object that's seen now. And the reason is that the wise considering has to get used to the fact that it's only visible object that's seen. So by hearing about it again and again, Sanya marks and remembers that it's only this what is visible that's seen at this very moment. This is the world. So this is the meaning of, you may have heard the term Upanisya Gotra. So Gotra means object, Aramana. It means it becomes the decisive support for understanding that object, that reality. So Sanya remembers what is the object for understanding, to understand. It marks and remembers that what is seen now is not a tablecloth, just that which is visible. So it accumulates with understanding. And this is Pariyatti understanding that accumulates and develops and gets used to what is the object that can appear now, that can be known now. If we'd never heard about visible object, Sanya couldn't remember that is what is seen, but by hearing about it and remembering and marking and getting used to it, this is the way that understanding develops until it's direct understanding that directly understands the characteristic of what is visible at this very moment, that it's the all, it's just Dhamma, no one there, nothing there. And this direct understanding of reality cannot be developed in Samatha Bhavana, only in the development of Vipassana Bhavana, starting with Pariyatti and Satipatthana, to directly know it, on and on. So this is the difference, and this is what is meant by directly understanding the characteristic of what appears now, which is exactly the same as that one that we've read about, that the Buddha taught. Everything is just as he taught it, just visible object appearing now, just sound appearing now, just one world at a time. But there has to be the considering, there has to be the marking and remembering in order for that understanding to develop to that degree, to directly know it, and then on and on until it directly knows the arising and falling away of that Dhamma when it appears, because that is the deep characteristic of that Dhamma, that it arises and falls away. So now we may think, how is it possible for Panya to know that? Because it hasn't been directly known. But when it's directly known, no doubt, because it penetrates that characteristic of that Dhamma. But there's only one way. Sometimes people may think there are different ways or different approaches, or if they go and sit quietly or do this or that. But the Buddha taught there's only one way, and that is the hearing what is right, what is Dhamma, and developing understanding of that characteristic of that Dhamma as Dhamma, visible object as visible object, not what I see or anyone else sees or anyone else's citta, just that which appears at that moment.
Then I have a doubt that there can be some particular level of panya can distinguish the akusala from kusala before panya can distinguish the... Oh no. No, don't think so. Sorry.
Like metta, we've talked quite a lot about metta. So when metta arises, does it have a characteristic? Is the characteristic of metta that is different from any other reality? And is metta, does it belong to you or me, or is it just a Dhamma? And can there be understanding of the nature of metta as a Dhamma, as reality?
Not now.
Now there may be thinking about it, considering, beginning to consider what its aspect is, how at that moment there is friendliness to others, how it's different from the moments of thinking about oneself. So there may be considering, and there may be considering that actually, like visible object, it's just a Dharma that arises and passes away instantly, that it doesn't belong to me. So beginning to consider wisely about metta, which may arise at this moment or may appear now, this is the beginning, this is Pariyatti understanding. So again, there can be the reflecting wisely, and Sanya marks and remembers and gets used to what that reality is, so that gradually understanding develops. But if we say, oh, well, it doesn't appear and not yet, and what about Vipassana Jnana? It doesn't help at all. Because, or if there's doubt, can it ever be known? It's not understanding of what appears at this moment. So no matter whether it is visible object or metta or doubt, it's just Dharma. It doesn't matter at all what it is. It doesn't matter how little understanding there is.
Thank you.
Because it can develop when and if there are conditions.
I think we all agree that any ordinary person can know the difference between when you are angry, when you like something, when you like and dislike the difference. Still, I think it takes panya to know the differences between more subtle characteristics like metta and lobha.
What kind of panya, though, is the question?
Yes, so, but the kind in samatha just doesn't know about the non-self, the real characteristic of realities. But they can know how vichara is different from vitaka and how metta is different from lobha.
I didn't quite catch what you said, the panya, about the panya.
The panya in samatha, yes, can know the difference between metta and lobha and vitaka and vichara.
Yes, apparently it can.
My question about the apple pot. We are talking many, many times about the first one, like the leader. So it is the right understanding, support, or the mental factor to be arise, or is the mandatory for the other to arise with that? Or why? I mean, it is the leadership of the able part in that term.
The main point about the eight factors of the Eightfold Path is that they all arise together.
All arise together?
Yes. Okay. But it's said that panya is the leader.
Panya is the leader?
Yes.
So any moment of the right part, it has to be with the with the right view, right? The first one, right understanding. Okay.
Right view is right understanding. It's the same. So when we talk about right understanding, we're talking about samadhi, the first factor of the Eightfold Path. Okay. And it has to be accompanied by at least five other Eightfold Path factors whenever it arises, and it's the path. Three of them, the abstaining from wrong speech, wrong deeds and wrong livelihood, one or other may arise together as well, but there have to be the other five arising together.
So at the moment of the metta, for example, without understanding there, so no any of the eight there, for sure.
Right, no path factors. Ordinary kusala, including samatha, which comes with panya, there are no path factors at such moments. Only when there's a moment of insight, panya, satipatthana, this is referred to as the mundane path. And as Sarah said, there must be at least five of those path factors till a moment of enlightenment when all eight will arise together.
Can you explain a little bit about the development of understanding about wholesome and unwholesome? We talk a lot about understanding the development, understanding about realities, but can you explain a little bit about the development of understanding about wholesome and unwholesome?
Sarah just brought a very important point 5 minutes ago, that when we think, I feel I have to consider this more, when we feel, oh, it is so difficult, it is above me, and then Sarah reminds us that we, that also that moment should be known. It was 5 minutes ago that you just brought, and I find I have to consider this a bit more. So it is very good if you could elaborate a little more about that. And we think, oh, it is so above me, you know. We all may have such thought.
So if we're thinking about, well, there's doubt and whether there's any understanding now, or when will it be vipassana jnana, and what would it be like if there was understanding of the arising and falling way of dharmas, and is this satipatthana, all this kind of thinking is thinking with doubt and thinking about me, and it's the idea of I is behind it, because it's all about my development, my panya, my sati. So it hinders from just understanding what appears now very naturally. Actually, it's more fantasy thinking, just the fantasy about I and my development, and just forgetting completely about visible object that appears now, sound now, one world at a time. And that's the world at the moment of seeing. It's just visible object, that's all. And so no need to think about, oh, what, how will it go in the future, and what's this understanding, and what will happen to me. It happens, it's naturally, but gradually when understanding develops, I think it begins to see how very useless it is, and it hinders from understanding just that which appears now. Yes. It's, we forget that it's just Dharma, and this is the meaning of understanding Dharma as Dharma, or the characteristic of Dharma.
Very important, yes. Yes.
Just before we go to Tai's question, just to explain in case it's not clear, the eight path factors are each a mental factor that arises at a moment of insight or enlightenment. So obviously samaditti refers to the mental factor of panya, samasati refers to the mental factor of sati, samavayama to the mental factor of virya, and so on. So they actually refer to the mental factors that arise together for the development of the path.
And just one other small point on Tam's point, like as she said, when samatha's developed, it even there's understanding the difference between vitaka and vichara. It's not like ordinary understanding, but then we're talking about highly developed samatha, bhavana, that can distinguish the factors at that, to that degree, I think.
Turning to Tai's question about difference between wholesome and unwholesome.
The process of the understand about wholesome and unwholesome develop.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily a process, but it's a question of understanding what is the signature of each, because every wholesome moment is accompanied by wholesome mental factors, and every unwholesome moment is accompanied by certain unwholesome mental factors. And for the wholesome mental factors, one of those is the mental factor of passati, or calmness. Whereas the unwholesome moments, jittas, are accompanied by a mental factor that is restlessness, always. So if there is the understanding of those particular signature indicators, then that is the understanding of the difference between the two.
I'm sorry, maybe I doesn't explain correctly. I mean about the process of samatha, panna, panya development. Because some people who get the jhana is mean the high level of panya about samatha, right? So there must be a process for the samatha, panya development.
Well, it's understanding things like the difference between moments of wholesome and unwholesome, because that does require some panya. And it's also understanding the significance of the particular subject of contemplation. For example, when it's the earth kasina, it's a question of reflecting in a wholesome way with understanding on the earth element. When the subject of contemplation is death, it's a question of the way of reflecting in a wholesome manner on the significance of death and the fragility of life, and so on. That panya develops in that way, but it is not as though there are particular stages in the same way that we have come to learn about in terms of insight. But of course, as concentration also develops at the same time, then there are levels of concentration as the development approaches jhana.
Is there calm now?
No.
So how can it develop? Do you see the danger of clinging to sensuous object now? Do you see the danger of clinging to the sensuous objects now?
No.
So it is not calm. First of all, it does mean that you understand the process of the development of samatha. But at this very moment, what is there? If there is no understanding, seeing the danger of clinging to the sensuous object, it means that there is no understanding to develop calmness, because even right now, it's still the clinging to the sensuous objects. But it does mean that there cannot be calm, but it arises with each moment of kusala. So whether now it's kusala or akusala is unknown, not known yet, right? So each word of the Buddha is experienced by citta and other cittasikas, which perform their function unknowingly each moment. So we don't know when will there be more understanding, but keep on listening and considering until when there is a little more understanding, you know what condition that moment. For example, seeing, there is seeing from birth to death, but when will it be object of understanding it as not self? It's just only thinking about when and how, but it's moment of now. See, having heard not at all about seeing, can there be a little more understanding of seeing? So no matter how much, it depends on the accumulation of the understanding from moment to moment to have that really moment of direct understanding. And it's daily life. For example, if you use the word hardness, it's just seeing, right? Exactly, by way of arising and falling away, but different conditions, so different characteristics. Even hardness is there now, the moment of understanding it as a reality. It takes time, quite a long, long time, beyond expectation, but keep on seeing the value of understanding is better than not understanding. And at that moment, it is strong sanya, because clinging clings to all five khandhas. And at this moment, what is the object of sanya to cling to as I? What is the object? Everything. See, unknown, clinging to feeling, clinging to sanya, clinging to all sankhara khanda, and also clinging to vijnana, which experiences. That's why no expectation of how much panya will grow, but understanding little by little will condition a little bit of panya from time to time, unknowingly. So the proof is at moment of seeing, at moment of touching, at moment of thinking, any moment, whether there is a moment of understanding it as not self. Without learning the words of the Buddha, there is no condition at all to understand it. So no expectation at moment of listening, but one knows whether there is understanding of clinging to what? What is object of clinging? Is it there now? See? And few moments of understanding reality as not self, but it works little by little. So it's great patience, khanti parami, with virya parami, with satya parami, with adhidana parami. Keep on. No one at all. Only all these parami. If someone is asked whether there is clinging to sanya now, if one doesn't know sanya, how can we say that yes, it clings? But actually it clings without understanding, unknowingly, already, from moment to moment. And when we learn about the path leading to understanding reality until kilesa is eradicated completely, we have to understand what we heard about. A little more and more understanding, like panya. See, there are many levels of panya. And what is panya? It's not to cook or to do anything, but to understand whatever appears. Otherwise, it's not panya. Talking about different matter is not panya. But talking about that which appears now, to have more and more understanding as not self, not under anyone's control, it's there already, seeing. No matter what, there is thinking, there is seeing. So fast. So the first thing is to see the difference of that which experiences and that which cannot experience as it is. For example, there is no person as object of seeing. There is only that which can see. That which can be seen right now, see, no one there. Only few words, but with more and more considering, it can condition more and more detaching with the idea of self. But it takes quite a long, long time. But it's better to know correctly that it needs the patience and khanti and all paramis. When panya is there, daily life getting better a little bit, through deeds and speech, because of understanding. More metta, more karuna, as it's accumulated, not more or less than what is there. And this is panya, the first of the Eightfold Path, the first one. And the second one, what is that?
Thinking, right thinking.
You use the word thinking, but actually it says vitakka cetasika. It arises with sampatichana, that moment it doesn't think. So if we keep on thinking, that it's thinking, that it's not right. Because through the sense door, it does not think. Even it arises with sampatichana or sandirana or other moments. So, who knows the characteristics of thinking? Besides the 10 jitta, it's there already. But it's the second of the Eightfold Path. So it's quite important. Because usually in a day, we think about other things all the time, not knowing that because of vitakka, cetasik, which touches on that object, when there is akusala, it touches wrongly as something permanent. But when it begins to be right one, it knows that that's vitakka appear now, but it's there. Because it's that which touch on the object which does not appear as to seeing. See, just the next moment followed the seeing, the object appears different. To seeing, it appears as is seen, actually, that which sees that. One is that which experiences, and the other is only that which is experienced. So how fast? And then it's followed by mind-door process, many, many mind-door process. So comparing the processes of mind-door and the process of seeing, so short. So when it's panya which can experience it directly through mind-door, the sense door appears so very, very rapid, like lightning, no shape, no form, as something at all. So the five senses doorway can directly be experienced through mind door after the five door has fallen away. It is just like now, but it's covered up because of no understanding of what Buddha has enlightened. And out of his compassion, he knew that it's impossible for anyone to understand it better and clearer, to begin the idea of no self, little by little.
Ajahn, I think vitakka is said to be the food of the world.
Vitakka is that with touches the object which seeing sees before it arises. But it cannot perform the function of seeing, or it cannot arise together with seeing.
So is there any reason why is it called the food of the world?
It's the way it is, so there's no why.
When we're talking about the Eightfold Path factors, understanding needs vitakka, samasankappa, to touch the object. So it's like the foot, it's the necessary support. That's why it's also classified when one divides a path up into different aspects as understanding. It's the support for understanding to understand reality. So it's like the support or the foot.
Okay, so in the meaning of support, being the support.
Like the foot, that's how I think of it.
Vitakka.
Vitakka has to touch the object in order for understanding to understand. Like Sanya remembers everything, whatever has been marked, but it depends on what vitakka touches as to what is experienced at that moment. Depends what vitakka, we can say, thinks about or what it experiences. So in order for understanding to develop, it has to touch that right object, that reality that can be directly understood at that moment. So in that way, it's like a foot or the support for understanding to arise. So closely related, that's why it's the second factor of the path.
Is this vitaka at the moment of bhavangacitta?
We're not talking about bhavangacittas, we're talking about at moments when the... I thought we were talking about the Eightfold Path, moments of right understanding.
Yeah.
Not vipakacittas, not bhavangacittas. But vitaka arises with those bhavangacittas. It arises with every citta other than the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and one or two jhana citta's. And at that moment, at those moments, it touches the object. But when it's we're talking about understanding of reality, it touches rightly that object, which is the object of right understanding and the other path factors. There can be wrong vitaka too, and vipaka vitaka, but this is the kusala, right vitaka. We talk, because we use conventional language just like the Buddha did, so we can talk about thinking, we can talk about dreaming, we can talk about feeling pleasant, but whatever we talk about when we're talking about the Buddha's teachings, it is about different realities. So just because we talk about thinking doesn't mean it's not about specific paramattha dharmas. So that's why, like on the first day we said, the more understanding there is of paramattha dharmas, the more understanding there is of conventional reality, less confusion. But we know now that what is being discussed are paramattha dharmas. So every time we talk about thinking, to be precise, it's vitaka citta-sika.
Ajahn, I think I heard you say something a minute ago. I may be wrong, but if I'm correct in what I heard, I'd like you to explain it a bit more. Vitaka touches the object of the object seeing sees before it arises.
Say it again, please.
Well, I may be wrong. Vitaka touches the object that seeing sees.
Is that right? When seeing has fallen away, Sampaticcana knows.
What seeing has seen, just see that visible object.
Okay, it says, okay. That makes sense. So it touches the object that seeing has seen. It doesn't arise with seeing, but it does with Sampaticcana, Santirana, yeah. and those following. Okay, thank you.
Just clarify again. At the moment of bhavanga, it is vitaka?
Yes, bhavanga. Vitaka is there with each moment of bhavanga, yes.
But at seeing, no.
With seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, only need seven chetasikas, only the universals, nothing else at all. So whatever mental factor we're talking about, if it's not one of the seven universal chetasikas, then it doesn't arise. But every other citta needs more.
The more understanding about paramattha dharmas, the less confusion about conventional realities, but something I didn't quite get here.
So, for example, if there is understanding that what is seen is just visible object, then when we talk or other people talk about moving the table or thinking about the flowers, there's no confusion, no mixing up. So we use conventional language as usual. And when other people are using it, there's no mixing up what is real and what is conceptual. So when we hear about thinking, and if we're talking about dharmas, there's no thinking that this is thinking as usual, like a long story. We know it has to be referring to dharmas because we're talking about the Buddha's teachings. Or if we're talking about strong and weak, asankarika and sasankarika,
cheetahs and we're talking about stories, we know that it just refers to one cheetah at a time, not to a whole story like when I came here, was it Sasankarika or Asankarika? Because that is mixing up the conventional ideas with the dharmas. So the more understanding of dharmas, then less mixing up with concepts.
Yes.
I have a question from the list, Nina. So this is for you first and then Ajahn afterwards. So yesterday, Alan raised the question about mindfulness in schools, and I gave him the answer that we discussed about how only if it refers to the Buddha's teachings does it harm the Buddha's teachings, but how it can lead to wrong practices and how it's not useful and so on. And Phil from Canada, he said, I was just going to ask about ahimsa, non-harmfulness. I would contend that conventional mindfulness outside the domain of the Buddha's teachings helps to condition less harmful behavior. It's been shown that violent prisoners, for example, learn to overcome the impulse to lash out as long as they're following a meditation practice. I would like to ask about ahimsa and why it is said to come first in a sutta, and whether that wouldn't mean that non-harmfulness, whether or not accompanied by panya, is in line with the Buddha's teachings. And personally, I'm glad to see a growing tendency to non-harmfulness. If there is conclusive evidence that mindfulness meditation leads to reduced violent anger, can this not be said that it indicates ahimsa is at the root of all virtues? Can we not say it's useful?
So he uses many words from the unconventional sense and not the reality. So he seems that people don't understand really about mindfulness, knowing what one is doing, for example. You know, we hear that a lot. So and how can it help to know the citta now? It's only talking in general terms. It's not any understanding.
Ajahn, do you have any comments?
Is there anything outside the teachings of the Buddha?
No reality outside the Buddha's teachings.
So what is mindfulness?
Sati chetasika, which is not understood.
Do they know about sati?
They have no idea what sati
so
is.
What is that which is taken from mindfulness?
Yes. Wrong view and wrong practice.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I just hear that Ajahn said that there's a lot of clinging to sanya. A few minutes ago, I'm not sure that this is correct.
Just now or before?
Just before. Like before.
They can be clinging to anything. And she mentioned that people talk about clinging to sanya, but actually they don't know what sanya is, so usually it's like clinging to memories but not really understanding what sanya is, but still there can be clinging to the idea of sanya and clinging to having sanya to particular objects. So clinging can cling to anything. And what about what he said about ahimsa, non-harmfulness, because he mentions about ahimsa in the sutta, and he thinks that this kind of meditation practice is non-harmful because people are less likely to get angry or violent or something like this.
Not forever.
It's no different from any other technique out there for controlling, as they would say, one's emotions. So it's only as valid as the rest of them.
And what you take for kusala might be, or maybe akusala, like mindfulness.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any kusala involved in the mindfulness practice itself. Just like there's no kusala involved in other kinds of therapy, although they may be well-intentioned.
What about when any kind of thinking arises, if there is the understanding that it's just vitakka touches that thought, it can condition, relax or relieve even just a little? Not me, it depends on vitakka, whether it touched the object of such thought or the other object. So when there is more understanding of a reality, it's very beneficial to support the idea of no self. You cannot stop thinking that way because vitakka touches, not because you can think about it or cannot think about it.
Very good point, because it's like a condition for true calm at those moments, calm with understanding, when there is the appreciation that whatever arises now, whatever is experienced, depends on vitakka to touch that object. So no one would like to have angry thoughts, but if there are conditions for vitakka to touch this or that object, it's conditioned already, but at that moment of understanding, the citta is truly calm, and the calm with right understanding of realities is higher calm, far more beneficial and useful than the calm which is developed, but still with the idea of I, or I can do.
That's why when thinking arises, there can be condition for direct awareness with understanding of it as just a reality which thinks.
Can one say, because he's mentioned this ahimsa and non-harmfulness, can one say that whenever any kusala arises only, then it is ahimsa or non-harmful, alobha adosa at that moment?
That's why it's the foot of the world. From seeing, hearing, it goes on and on and on with thinking. Someone might think, I don't like to think at all. See? Impossible.
Can we say that understand the danger of unwholesome and understand the wholesome, understand wholesome citta at this moment is the development of samatha?
Do you just want to name or call it? To really understand it as not self.
This may be full of incorrect understanding here, but vitakka touches the object. We call that thinking. Without vitakka, there could be no thinking. But it's. I guess my question is, how does that differ from, I guess it's papanja, which is the, at least I think it is, what is it? It thinks on and on. That's how a story goes on and on. Is that, that may be wrong.
So if we're talking about papancha thinking, it's referring to moments of thinking with lobha, mana, or ditti in particular, but vitakka arises with every citta other than the 10, so even in sense or process, and in the mind or process, when there's conventionally what we
think of as thinking, then vitakka is there at each moment with whatever kind of citta arises, even with the adverting consciousness and with those following cittas, no matter kusala, akusala, vipaka, akusala, akusala cittas. So even for the Buddha, vitakka is there at each moment of thinking, but no papancha at all.
That's why it's the factor of the Eightfold Path.
So what we call thinking, and whether it's kusala or akusala thinking, are the moments in the, as we were discussing earlier, the javana stage of the mind or process. Vitakka, of course, arises with jittas outside the kusala and akusala jittas. So it performs a particular function of touching the object. And it has the designation thinking because it touches the object. But when we talk about thinking of this or that, wholesome or unwholesome, we're just referring to the kusala or akusala jittas.
Does it touch the seeing now? See? So it's not the factor of the Eightfold Path yet.
Ajahn, you just said, so it's not a factor of the Eightfold Path yet. Is that what you said? So, is that implying that it touches...
Other thing.
Pardon?
Other thing, not other the object of the Eightfold Path.
At this moment, if it's not touching reality...
Right.
...then cannot be path.
Yes.
Path.
Okay. Maybe like it's not okay. Can you explain that more?
Well, like, for example, at the moment of thinking about Mai's yellow shirt, vitakka's there at each moment of thinking.
Yes.
But it's just fantasy world. So
right.
It can't be the path moments.
Right.
Because it's not reality.
But
which
it's,
is being
it's
experienced.
Touching realities then.
In that moment, it's touching the concept which is thought about through the mind door.
Yes. The yellow shirt. But if it's touching...
It's aware of it, which is touched by vitakka. Sammasati, the factor of the Eightfold Path, is aware of that which vitakka touches.
A reality which it touches.
Okay, thank you.
I forgot what citta... Tina Mida arises with the Loba Mulachita.
So we are back to Satankarika. Only with Chitta, but Satankarika.
Satankarika.
Yeah, okay. But it is a difficult subject as we have just heard to distinguish. We know the words, but maybe only when the España it will know.
So any Akusala Chitta, which are Satankarika,
yes,
have Tinamida?
No, I don't think so. Not every.
Not all.
Mm. If it arises, it has to be with Satankarika.
Okay.
But I am now only words, you see.
So usually Tinamida is... It's used to indicate the moment of like drowsiness, but it doesn't necessarily mean that only when we are sleepy that there are tinamida. There is tinamida. It arises at other moments too.
While one is so sleepy, does one want anything?
Sleeping.
While one is so sleepy, yeah. Would like to sleep. Is there any moment of wanting or craving for anything?
I think maybe craving for...
Lying down, sleep, for what?
Craving for sleeping.
Strongly.
Not other objects.
Yeah, strongly or very weak.
Very weak.
When it's weak, there is tinamitam, satsangharika.
One just feels no conditions for kusala now. Maybe one feels one can't be bothered to help or to answer or to ask a useful question for others. Mm-hmm. So just weak, mm-hmm. weak. Akusala.
Always akusala.
Even when say that, don't sleep because next moment it will be vipassayana. What about that moment? Still wanting sleep, not vipassayana.
And the moments of...
Because of you, but because of reality right there.
I suppose it arises more often than we think.
And that moment can be moment of panya, which knows exactly all anatta.
Yes.
The bad question, I cannot get anything, so I to come back. Ajahn, could you please elaborate a little bit more about vitakka again?
It does not arise with the 10 jittas only.
It does not arise?
It cannot arise with the 10 jittas, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
At any, every moment other than that. And yeah, normally Ajahn talking about like seeing appear now and whatever is this. I'm not sure if it's appear now, like a thinking appear to be considered as a vitakka.
We just learn to understand more and more that all dhammas are anatta.
Sure.
That's all. To understand more that nothingness is clearer and clearer. No one can do anything, no self, no one at all. If there is no understanding of realities, it has to be idea of self there.
And tam can tina and mida arise with moha mula chitas, without lobha or dosa?
I'm not sure, because I forgot which chitta it arises.
The moha chitas, moha mula chitas, can they be classified as sasankarika or asankarika?
Only with doubt or with restlessness, so no sasankarika or
right. Mm. So four lobha mula chitas, one dosa mula chitta, the sasankarikas, just those five, but not the moha mula chitas, okay. Because they're not sasankarika.
Mm. Okay. So that is quite tricky because the moha mula chitta can be weak as well, but still they're not called sasankarika. Quite tricky.
Yeah, I have another question. You said that vitakka touches the object which chitta experience. Vitakka touches the object. Which chitta experience? And my question is, can vitakka choose the object as well? And which chitta, reality can choose the object? Which reality can choose the object? That's right.
So what support vitakka to think of this or that or to arise and has such and such object?
I'm just thinking about it for understand more about the characteristic of vitakka, what vitakka is. Sometimes we're just talking about it's difficult to understand about the characteristic of it. What it is.
From this point, it will lead to understand other point as well, because of sanya.
Because of sanya.
And other sankharakanda, other jitasikas as well, depending on with lobha or with dosa, depending on conditions. But sanya remembers that which thinks, the object of thinking. Can you think of when you are 1 year old?
Yes.
2 months?
We can think about what we are when 1 year old, right? What is the question?
1 year old.
1 year old, no. Okay.
So it depends on sanya and sankhara khanda, which condition such vitaka to arise.
Oh, Ajahn just mentioned depend on the sanya.
Can you think about that which you has experienced at all?
No.
See, because of the sanya of that object.
No.
Like just now when Tom asked about Tina and Mida and you said you got nothing out of this question and the answer because you're not familiar with the terms or the words, so sanya hasn't marked and remembered them, so there can't be any useful thinking about them. Like if you said the terms in Vietnamese, no sanya that has marked those terms, so it's meaningless, so there can't be thinking about the meaning of them.
Okay.
My sanya can remember kam en. Is that right?
So
ngon lam. Right?
Actually, I'm just thinking about the nimitta of the reality. Then, sanya, it's mark and remember the reality just happened, just experiencing the object. So what is the function of the nimitta that normally Ajahn talking about the understand the nimitta of the reality?
Is a nimitta real?
Nimitta not real.
So it doesn't have function?
Like any concept that we, no, different. It then nimitta of reality and the concept about reality is like thinking about the people and thinking about the nimitta. No. Experience. Oh, I.
Can concept do anything?
Can concept
do anything?
Concept cannot do anything.
The arm move. Can the arm move?
Can the arm move? Yes. Itself cannot move, but we think it's control body to move.
When there's understanding, there is no arm at all. There are only different realities. What is that which moves? See, not the arm. But that which is real and which is not hardness, because hardness cannot move. That's why we learn to understand more and more in order to have less and less wrong understanding of reality. Otherwise, it's just what's the idea of self or something all the time. As can the eye see?
The eye, right? The eye, right? The eye cannot see.
So seeing is that which arises just to see, and then falls away. There can never be more than one at a process, at a time, or in a process. Just one moment of seeing.
Again, then the nimitta of it can be understood, right, by understanding.
The nimitta, without the reality, can there be nimitta?
No. Mm-hmm.
So what can be directly experienced?
Nimitta of the reality.
Nimitta is real or not real?
Not real.
So can there be the panya which is aware or understand breath, or as what?
I cannot get the question.
So,
sorry, I cannot get your question.
So please repeat your question again.
I think your question was, can there be there is understanding of nimitta, right?
Yeah.
Understanding of nimitta of reality.
Yes. My question was, seeing arise to see, and understanding the nimitta of the seeing visible object that arise.
The characteristic of the seeing is understood by panya, but what panya experiences at that moment is the nimitta,
yeah,
of the seeing. So we don't say that panya understands the nimitta. We say panya understands seeing by experiencing the nimitta of seeing.
Okay, got the point. Okay.
Because when panya is weak, it cannot experience a single moment of seeing, obviously. It will experience multiple moments of seeing consciousness, and its experiencing of those multiple moments is just as a period of seeing, not as an individual moment. So panya is not understanding individual moments of seeing. That's the nimitta effect. The seeing is arising and falling away so quickly.
So can panya understand breath?
Understand what?
Can panya understand breath is the question.
Breath. The sato rupa, right? That it can be understood. But breath, yes, it's a concept already.
So can panya understand breath?
Yes. You mean the reality of breath or the breath?
Just breath.
Breath. I think panya can understand anything.
Even that which is not real at all?
Yes, can understand that is not real.
Is it panya?
Okay, without panya. The breath, the concept.
If there's no reality, can there be understanding of it as not self, as Dhamma, as a reality?
Oh.
So actually, what is breath?
I just remember that is the...
Remember?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, understand.
What is the breath? What's the breath, right? You mean the reality of the breath or the breath?
Without reality, can there be breath?
I don't know the reality.
Is there breath?
Yes, some rupa, but I don't know that. I never heard.
Is there breath now?
Yes.
What is experienced?
Experienced by citta.
Yes, but what is experienced?
Arupa.
You call it arupa, but what rupa?
What rupa? I don't know.
Without the reality, can you say that that is rupa? You can tell when you understand the characteristic which is not that which experiences.
Okay, I got it. Motion.
From whom?
From whom? got it.
So all depends on understanding.
Yeah.
Not just sanya.
So it can say that it's appear. Appear, right? Motion appear.
To what?
Through nose. Appear by body sense. Body sense.
What, please?
Body consciousness, yeah.
Why do you call body consciousness?
Because experience like the body touch.
Yeah, because there are five. When we don't talk about mind, and it cannot be seen, it cannot be heard, but it appears when there's touching. So what is the nature of breath?
The nature of it, not understanding, it's just arise and fall away, nature of motion like that, and thinking about...
When you talk about motion, is that object of experience at that very moment? Or you think about it?
Already think, but it's about this. About this, but already thinking about it.
So there should be, but it depends on condition, the understanding of that which experience breath and breath, the reality of it, not just a name called breath.
Yeah, right.
Can the breath experience anything?
No.
And why do you say that the body consciousness experiences breath?
Because it experiencing, like through the body sense. It's not directly understand each moment, but it's true, like seeing now, right? Hearing now is appear. It's not about direct, but...
That's why even it's real, it's hard and soft, tangible object, but it can be called by shape and form or idea about it, yeah. Like finger or ear or breath. Would you like to be aware of breath?
By condition.
Would you?
By condition. Cannot say.
Unexpectedly, everything. So even panya, no matter of what degree, it appears more and more as no self, no one. All are anatta. Otherwise, it's not the understanding of anattaness. It's always I who understand or who knows.
Just wanted to clarify one point with Paina, because this morning we're talking about the rupa outside of the body, such as flowers. They are conditioned by utu, temperature, and the jivitindra rupa only arises in living being.
Has to be conditioned by karma, so only in the groups of rupa conditioned by karma. That's why when you were mentioning, I said, did you say about jivitindriya? Mm. Because nothing to do with the flowers, because only groups of rupas in the body conditioned by karma can have jiviti.
Yes. There is some kind of rupa that is conditioned. Let me look at my notes here. It's called dead matter. What is, and it has no jivit indriya. But the other living matter is considered jivit indriya. But I can't understand how flowers, although they're living matter, can be conditioned by kama. So there, it seems there are two types of indriya, rupa indriya and nama indriya.
Before that point, before talking about that point, can we understand the difference between the atta nutiti and sakkaya ditti? To see the difference before knowing whether that is living or not living, not living at all. So, what is that? See? And what is this? And what is this? Different. I do not take that from me or mine or myself. But this, even it's hard, exactly the same as that. But this is sakkaya, taking it as my, not just something. It is something to the other, but to me, it's sakkaya. It belongs to me, it's me. And when we talk about that which appears, whether it is with jivitindriya or not jivitindriya, the color now, where is it? It's seen, but where is it? Without the other rupa, like for primary rupas, there cannot be that which can impinge on the eye, different from hardness, softness, because that cannot impinge on the eye. And at moment of looking at it, is it with jivitindriya or no jivitindriya? See, it cannot be told just by looking. What about the wax museum? Looks alike, alive, but who knows that that is not a person, it's only, what you call it? The museum work, wax work. But you see that in order to have sanya, to understand whether there is jivitindriya or without jivitindriya. For example, that color cannot be taken for living being, right? The truth is that it's not living being. It's something. Why? Because we think about it. It cannot experience anything. It cannot see. It cannot know who touches it.
So you're saying that if it's living matter, it has to be associated with living being.
Matter is, in the Dhamma, is not classified as living or not living.
In this dictionary it was.
Could you read it again, because I missed the actual word you used.
Oh, okay.
No matter what word we use, it depends on reality. The truth of it, whether it's real or not. For example, that whatever without the jivitindriya, it's not living. Body or mind or cetasika.
So there are two kinds of jivitindriya. One is the cetasika, which is one of the seven universal cetasikas that arises with every citta. So this is nama jivitindriya. So it cannot arise in flowers or trees because it has to arise with citta. So it arises with every citta in any realm, any being. And the other kind is rupa jivitindriya, and it arises in a kalapa, a group of rupas, minimum eight other rupas plus jivitindriya minimum. And this is the groups of rupas that are conditioned by karma. Outside the body, each group of rupas is only conditioned by utu temperature, but in the body inside the sakaya, the groups of rupas can be conditioned by kama, citta, utu temperature, or ahara nutriment. So in the groups of rupas conditioned by citta or temperature or nutriment, no jivitindriya rupa. It just arises in those groups conditioned by karma in the body.
Yes, well, it refers in this dictionary to the eight kalapa, the eight rupa kalapa, as so-called dead matter. Sorry? It refers to the so-called dead matter as the primitive group with eight physical phenomena. So, huh?
You say dead matter.
That's what it says here.
Yes.
So what's dead matter?
Right.
Is the one that arises with eight physical phenomena, eight right. kalapa. That's what
I. Where does jivitindriya come into it?
It doesn't call it jivitindriya. It says dead matter, so I don't know what it's referring to. It's the kalapa with eight physical elements.
It's eight when there is no jivitindriya arising with it. But when kamma conditioned the jivitindriya with that eight, in that kalapa there are nine rupa.
Okay.
So it is at least not less than that for each kalapa, but when it's conditioned by karma, it conditioned the jivitindriya with that kalapa. That's why even this is hard, but it's just from that which is not conditioned by karma, because only karma can condition the jivitindriya rupa.
Okay.
So the eight do not include jivitindriya. There are four primaries.
That's how I understood it here,
minimum
that the
nine.
Eight would not include jivitindriya. So that was called dead matter because it didn't have jivitindriya.
Mm-hmm. So where is the reference to living matter, though? You said there was a reference to living matter.
No.
No.
If it's dead matter, like the waxwork fake person, or the dead body, which is like a tree, then no jivitindriya, because...
That's right. The eight here that they include does not include jivitindriya. So I assume that it would be living matter if it included jivitindriya.
No, there's no such thing as living matter. Yeah. You're thinking of, say, flowers as living matter or a tree. As far as
I'm just... not from here, but it seems I have heard reference to plants as being living matter, but
you're
not
right.
Living beings.
That's the conventional... distinction between dead matter and living matter. That's a conventional distinction, but not in the Dhamma, not in the description of rupas. No, there's no distinction between conventional living matter and conventional dead matter.
Okay.
I may have given the impression from there that there was that distinction, but I'm not sure why they call it
dead
matter.
There is in the next paragraph. It says the simplest form of living matter is the ninefold vitality unit.
I think they're just referring to, by dead matter, they're referring to when there's no more living being and it's just a corpse and groups of rupa is arising conditioned by temperature, so no jivitindriya.
And it has their reference is to say it has nine kalapa. So it does include...
anyway.
I'm just trying to see what I'm reading.
Right.
Is this about rupa?
Sorry?
Is it?
What is the entry?
Rupa kalapa.
Rupa kalapa. At least eight.
Yes, at least eight, and they say it's so-called dead matter.
For any kalapa.
And with nine, it seems to be the simplest form of living matter.
Can they give any examples of what they mean by living matter?
No.
No. It's not a distinction that I'm familiar with elsewhere. Dead matter, living matter. There's no such thing as living matter in the Dhamma, just because there's a being and there's mental phenomena and physical phenomena only.
Do they call like groups of rupas that are arising now in the body which are not conditioned by karma? They might call it living matter, but it doesn't have jivitindriya in it. So one can't use that as the distinction. So many groups of only 8 rupas in the kalapa now, conditioned by other ways, by citta or temperature, but without jivitindriya.
Is it possible, Ajahn, that, say, what we take for flowers or trees or plants are in reality rupas that arise in kalapas of more than 8?
What is that which is more than 8? What rupa is make it more than 8?
This isn't an example, but the sound conditioned by temperature, that kalapa must have 9 rupas, that's one example.
Mm-hmm. Not flower.
Flowers. Their sound.
What about flowers? With the perfume, with the scent.
But that's one of the 8. One of the 8 already, yeah, the odor. Every group of rupas has odor.
It appears in this context to say that there are 10 kalapas, 10 dasaka kalapas, and that includes the 8 plus jivit indriya plus one of the carporal phenomena which relate to the 5 senses.
So that the heart has to be in the body.
Yes.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, there can be many, but in the body.
But it just talks about up to 10.
What makes the appearance different? Like 3, when it's all and dead, can you, it dies? What would we say for 3? It grows, and then it what? Dies? Okay, but what makes it different from when it doesn't die yet? To look different. Only temperature. So there must be only 8 rupas in a kalapa, conditioned by temperature. Is a tree old, see, young or old? By temperature. But for living being, there are also other conditions as well.
Can be, yes, many more rupas in the kalapa, like when moving,